because again, we view it as very differently. For the man, the way to reconnect is to have sex. And for the woman, the way to reconnect is you come home on time, we have a nice dinner, we talk, we have a glass of wine, then we have sex. You know, it's kind of amazing that we ever got together in the first place.
Well, yeah, that's true. But Betsy, to your point there, but why not the perfect evening be that, you know, she comes home, he comes home, they have sex first, then they have the wine, the dinner, then they have sex again.
Okay, that's a perfect.
That's a perfect evening.
Dave Smith, if you're listening, that's my perfect evening.
Well, the big question on everyone's mind, it's a gender thing, or is it? World peace, religion, sex, money, politics, climate change, big business, big ideas, and big egos. Nothing is off limits. As I'm joined by some of the most accomplished and highly opinionated women from the far left, the far right, and the far reaches of the planet. This is Malcolm Out Loud, and you're listening to Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. It's Malcolm All Out here, and our co-host today on the show here, Sergeant Betsy Smith, is here. She's a police officer for 29 years, a law enforcement trainer for over 20 of those years. She's a consultant, trainer, and author, and Taz Thornton, best-selling author, UK's number one inspirational breakthrough speaker, always has a great thought or an opinion in these conversations. Shauna Peters. She's a lady of so much wisdom. I've learned so much about you, Shauna, throughout the season. Inner world explorer and guide, intuitive natural health practitioner. And Linda Martinelli is an entrepreneur, owner, president, a performer, graphic, print source. And Linda is really, all of you ladies have grown so much throughout this season. And Linda, you definitely, you've grown so much throughout the whole season. So congratulations to all of you, by the way. And thanks for being part of this Life Liberty conversation. I got to tell you, this whole curveball conversation is always interesting to me because I always find these moments of disruption in our life as pure opportunities. It's an opportunity to do it again. It's an opportunity to reinvent. It's an opportunity to don't keep doing the same things because that's, again, the form of stupidity, but to try new things, try a new direction, a new idea, a new thought, to be brave enough to step forward. Sometimes it's not pretty. You know, I always envy people, ladies, who, like, everything is tracked in their life. Don't you? Well, actually, don't you just hate people like that, actually? You don't envy them. You hate them, right? People who plan everything accordingly and, like, their kids are at the perfect time and everything is perfect. You say, man, what is it with people like that? The rest of us, not so much, huh? So, isn't that the truth, though? I mean, you know, so pregnant is one of those things that can certainly change your life and change your moment. And so I came across a very interesting story that really got my attention here. And it's the headline was this, and I get a load of this, people. I accidentally got pregnant with my best friend's baby, and I wouldn't change a thing. And I said, oh, man, this has got to be a doozy, I'm sure. But how do you accidentally get pregnant, first of all, with your best friend's baby? I don't know about the word accidentally. I don't know that I'm buying that word, but okay. Let's keep going with it a moment here. And I wouldn't change a thing. Sergeant Betsy, let's start with you on this conversation because we were talking about it warming up here. And as we talked about this woman, what's different about this story? Because they're two young people, they're in love, and she accidentally. Do you buy the word accidentally, first of all? She accidentally ended up in bed with her best friend?
No, look, you put a penis in a vagina, you may get pregnant. That's just how it works.
Is that how it works? Oh, man.
If y'all need me to draw a diagram later, I can. But here's the thing. You know, sometimes we don't intend to get pregnant, but we do. And in reading this story, I really appreciated this woman. And she wasn't a kid. She was 29 years old.
Exactly.
And I kind of related because I work in a very male-dominated profession. So a lot of my besties were guys. And as happens, sometimes you have a couple drinks, maybe, and
Stop right there. Hold on. Now this show's going to take on a whole nother meaning. So tell us. Yeah, all right, you're out with the buddies, having drinks and stuff. So how many times has this happened to you, Sergeant Betsy?
Malcolm, never.
Okay, all right, just saying, man.
I am what my husband calls a serial monogamist. But, you know, I have done some dating. I have been married more than once or twice. And But what happens, you know, men and women, it's, you know, it's the old When Harry Met Sally situation. Can men and women really just be friends? And this woman talks about how here was a guy that she worked with, and they were just besties, and they ended up in the sack, and she ends up pregnant. Which was, you know, and he was very excited about it, but she was devastated because she saw herself taking a more conventional path of parenthood, you know, getting married and all that.
Right.
And yet, largely thanks to this guy's response, they really made the best of a kind of a sad situation. She kept the baby, which I really admire, and they co-parented, and the kid is now a teenager, and everybody's happy and healthy, and they co-parent. They live apart, but co-parent together.
Wow. That. Thank you for the sizing that up really well. And thank you for the lesson on reproductive rights as well. We really value that. Okay. Right, ladies?
No,
that was good. That was good. Because sometimes we forget that the two body parts, actually, there's a consequence of that. I don't know. There is something about it. It's Linda Martinelli. Pick up where Sergeant Betsy is. I want to ask you this. Would, if you were that lady, could you do what she did?
Oh, I would absolutely do what she did. Yes.
Really?
Yeah. I will say that my last son was unexpected. And although I was married, mm-hmm. I was on my honeymoon when I got pregnant with him.
Right.
And actually didn't intend to have another child. And then right after my honeymoon, I realized that I had made a terrible mistake and was not going to stay married to this person. So I got out of that right away, and that left me pregnant, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so what do you do with that? I mean, that's something that
exactly.
that is handed to you. And my thought was, oh my gosh, I can't do this again. I've just, you know, I've got two other kids. I can't raise this one by myself again, and you're devastated. But I will tell you today that that young man, who's a firefighter paramedic, mm-hmm. is the light of my life, and I absolutely wouldn't change anything. So you really have to take, you know, there's a whole bunch of sayings you could throw in here, you know, seek out the happiness in all of life's crappiness. You have to,
right.
you have to just really take these things and make the best of them, and really good things come of them. So you can't take
good
something
things
that,
come of it, Linda. That
sure.
is so important. Like I said, the moment of disruption. Listen, imagine, Linda. Now think a moment. Had you decided? Let's realize a moment here. How many people are aborted on a daily, by an hourly basis, let alone daily, around the world? I mean, around the world. And had you made that decision, not to say that you would, but had you done that, that young man that you just spoke about would not be here.
Oh, I absolutely. And I thought about that option, but for me, it's not an option, and I couldn't have gone through with it. Even if I had thought that I really, you know, should, or it would be better for my life, I couldn't have done that. So that couldn't be an option. So then you have to deal with the options that are on the table. And there only was one option, but I just can't stress enough how much of a light in my life he is. And just bad things often lead to good things. And this goes with anything, Malcolm, in my book. If you lose a job, mm-hmm. if you have right. a divorce, if you any bad
right.
thing, something even better can come from
well,
it.
Well, and Linda, you know, Linda, there's a reason these things, I believe there's a reason these things happen in our lives. So I as you know, I've referenced before to you, Linda, I look at that as the fork in the road deal,
yes.
the Robert Frost thing. You know, that's how I look at life. There are always two decisions, sometimes more than that, in front of us. And the decision we make at that moment can impact everything and impact. But the key is, even if it's a difficult choice, it's meant to be, and something will happen from it. And if you use those moments of lessons in your life, you'll have a far more fulfilling life than to live in anxiety and to regret. Having a life where regrets, Linda, is the worst thing, man, you know, the worst thing. Like, I regret this, I regret that, living in the past, and it just doesn't accomplish anything. So you would have done the same as this woman would have done, and you don't hesitate with that. And even raising it with the friend and all, like they did, as Betsy was saying, that wouldn't be a problem for you.
Well, no, that I mean that is what life has handed you right then, and that's what you deal with. She could have had a much worse situation, or she could have had somebody very antagonistic about the situation, and then you'd have to deal with that. But, you know, I mean, she was fortunate, and more importantly, the child was fortunate that both people really worked together to have a good relationship with him.
Yeah, but that's not always the case. That's not always the norm.
Certainly not.
And I think a lot of women could not do that. Shauna, could you do that? Could you do what this woman did that Bessie and Linda are saying they would? Could you do it?
Yeah, I think that would certainly be what I would strive for myself. Obviously, there's two parents involved, so each of them gets to make their choices about how they're going to continue in the relationship. And so I can't control another person, but that would be my ideal sort of outcome and what I would strive for if I was in this situation, for sure. Yeah, I really admire how they handled it.
I guess I'm questioning myself, Taz, what I would do in that situation. And I honestly don't know. I honestly don't know, you know, because it's a big decision. What would you do, Taz?
I think I would have done exactly the same. You know, yeah, it's a big decision, but here's where I think I can perhaps be a little bit black and white. If you're not prepared to put up with the potential consequences, you keep it in your pocket. Dead simple. I mean, clearly,
but they don't do that, Taz. Nobody's doing that.
Well, then you need to step into self-responsibility. If you're going to have the self-responsibility to stick your bits in places where they perhaps shouldn't be, then you've also got to take the responsibility of dealing with what might come afterwards. And this is the whole cycle we talk about on this show so often, this whole issue with self-responsibility and the perpetual cycle in life of having to look at, you know, actions, consequences for all our actions.
You've
got to think, well, okay, this has happened.
Right.
I could do this, and this. If I did this, this might happen. This might happen. This might happen. You've got to take a step back, look at all of the options, even the ones you wouldn't consider. It doesn't mean it's not an option just because you don't want to do it. Look at all the options and then make a sensible choice in terms of what the outcome might be, in terms of what you're going to do from there on. I think that's awesome. Think about how many couples who've, you know, maybe got married in a rush, or maybe they've just been so swept away by love that they haven't realized they're not such a good match. At least these guys have an existing compatible relationship. You know, they might not fancy each other to want to jump each other's bones every 5 minutes, but they've got the basis of something lasting there. You could argue that's going to be better for the kid.
Wow, that is
so
well,
Malcolm,
said. Yeah.
When you say that you don't know what you would do, or you may not be able to do it, what would your option be?
Wow, I don't know, Linda. I'm not sure. The complexity of a three-way relationship does not sound real exciting to me, Linda. That's all I'm saying. You know what I mean? You know.
No, but as we're talking about, if it becomes a reality, there has to be some action.
Well, first of all, if it was my wife or my woman who would do that, I would not stay with her. I would not remain in the relationship, Linda. Does that make sense?
If she would do what?
If she got pregnant with my best friend, if it was reverse, in the case of, you know, if with.
Oh, no. But we would be talking about you having getting your best friend, your bestie girlfriend, that who's not really a girlfriend, pregnant.
So it was a good friend of mine, and I get, well, first of all, I would be a real shit face for doing that, right? I mean, that would be like the worst possible.
But imagine that you were actually single. Imagine that this was before you were settled and before you were into big-time monogamy with your current squeeze, and that's lovely.
Right.
Just refer to your wife as a squeeze. I'm sorry, Mrs. Malcolm. But, you know, think about it. In a different set of circumstances, if you were single and ended up in the sack with your best friend, would you take responsibility for that child, or would you remove yourself from the scenario?
Now, as the guy and the one that done it, I would take responsibility for the child. Yeah, that's the answer there for sure. But now but on the other side of on the mental part of it, the three-way conversation of raising, that just doesn't sound real exciting to me.
No, but it doesn't mean the responsibility isn't there just because it's not popping your cork, does it?
Exactly. I agree with that. Yeah. It's a difficult situation, which means that there are consequences to the things that we do. That's all I'm saying, you know.
Yeah.
But like one thing like that can change your whole life. And that's never escapes me. That I am never it has never lost on me how I realize that one one decision you make in your life can change everything. And it's all done that to every one of us. Every one of us, we've gone through that in our lives, right?
Every one of us is where we are right now today because of the decisions we've made.
That's exactly
it's that simple.
Yeah, it is. It is. So I think that back to the case of there is a casualness today about all of this where there's a lot. I mean, listen, the divorce rate is through the roof, higher than it's ever been. In fact, the chances of you staying married are slim to none. They're not none, but slim to little. And because the divorce rate is through the roof. And people no longer, there's less value with that anymore. And I don't think marriage means anything anymore. And quite frankly, back to a relationship. And quite frankly, I think, I'm going to guess, 50 years from now, I'm not even sure marriage will exist anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm not even sure that's going to be on the menu, ladies. Shauna, speak to that. Am I wrong? Am I wrong? Will it still exist in 50 years?
I think there'll always be people, whether it's for their best health or not, that want to be in that relationship. And for some people, maybe it is because they lack an identity and marriage gives them gives them that identity. For other people, I think it will be more healthy, but I think it will still exist. There are always going to be a variety of opinions and choices on how we relate to somebody romantically. So that's my opinion.
Yeah, and I guess a lot of thoughts come to my mind, but what are we going to do with that information? What are we going to do, the relationship thing that's a conversation onto its own, ladies. I mean, it's probably one of the most complex things in our life, right?
That's probably a good show in its own right, Malcolm.
Yeah, no, it's a conversation onto its own. I mean, having the right relationship, finding the right one, and you said something, Betsy, just earlier here, and I want to ask you something that's been on my mind here a little bit. And you said something about men and women and about, friendship. Can men and women just, because you, I forget how you phrased it, but can men and women, can they be just friends?
Well, again, this goes back to, the old When Harry Met Sally. Young people, right. Go get it on Netflix. But, I'm not sure. It depends. If you've got a heterosexual man and a heterosexual woman that are best friends, there's probably always going to be a little bit of sexual tension. And can we control ourselves? Well, of course.
Yeah.
But I think there's always going to be that. And I mean, one of my best friends. One of my best friends in the police department was a guy who was gay, and and we were total besties, and he was a good looking guy, and had he been straight, I don't know, it might have been different.
There it is. That one decision could have changed everything, Yeah, the whole sex thing comes back to, is it procreation? Is it because it feels good and it makes us happy? Is it, it's a whole, we don't have Dr. Faye here today, but there's a whole religious there's a whole religious point to this too.
There's also science behind it, and this is a show predominantly of women, and see the way our brain is wired,
right,
is we attach emotion to everything. An emotion for us very often leads to what? Sex. You men, Malcolm, sex is recreation, right? For women,
endorphins.
Yeah, exactly. For women, sex is emotion, feelings, all of that.
Right.
Oh, and yeah. So it's a whole different situation. And that's why relationships are complicated. That's why some of us have been married multiple times, right? Relationships are complicated.
Why is let's stay on that a moment. I'm having fun with this conversation, ladies. I'm learning a few things here as well. I think we're going to change the whole title to this one, believe me. Let's stay on that a moment. Why is, Linda, answer this for me. I don't know that you can't. Well, you can. You can answer. Why is sex different for men and women?
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Back to Betsy's point. Well, I mean, come on. Let's put it out there on the Barbie here. Come on.
Well, I mean, I think what Betsy said is exactly right, that women attach emotion to it.
Mm-hmm.
Although I see more and more women that are able to kind of be like the guys and just go out and do it for fun and do it for enjoyment. It's an enjoyable experience. Everybody, male or female, enjoys having sex. If you're having good sex, and you know, I mean, for men, they can do it more without the emotion. Most men can. Again, you have some men that attach emotion to it. I think it's always better with emotion. And I think it makes the whole experience, it takes it to another level if you have that connection. Hmm. But I mean, just, you know, it just goes back to the 60s. If it feels good, do it, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, and there's, Linda brings up a really good point. And right. I, because I have a lot of men who are friends that come to me and say, well, you know, my wife doesn't want to have sex or whatever. Right. And Linda just said such a key term.
What?
If you're having good sex.
Amen.
Yeah. And there's a difference between sex and good sex. And
all right, well, let's do this. We're gonna have when we come back here, Mama, we're gonna have Sergeant Betsy explain the difference. Be right back with you.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
All right, friends, we're back here. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of pleasure. We have a little bit of a jump in our step today. I wonder why. We started off talking about when life throws you a curveball, but we ended up in the sack somewhere. And so now we're on a whole other level of the conversation here. We're talking about relationships. And I like this conversation, actually. It's really interesting. Linda Martinelli is here. Shauna Peters, Taz Thornton, Sergeant Betsy Smith. What an interesting conversation. But relationships are always intriguing to me. It's always interesting to me. This whole men-women paradigm and how we get there. And so before we pause just a moment here, Sergeant Betsy had this profound statement she made. I got to bring her back to it. There's a difference between just sex and between that and difference of good sex. And I have a couple of thoughts on that. But Sergeant Betsy, what is the difference?
Well, again, because women, our sexual pleasure is largely in our head. You know, and we have to be able to focus. We have to have certain emotions. You know, guys, God bless you, Malcolm, but guys, you can get off pretty easily. And for women, not so much. And so a lot of the men I talk to, a lot of the guys that are my friends who come to me and say, you know, oh, my girlfriend's not that interested in sex. My wife's not interested. And so I tell them, what exactly are you doing to help that situation? Because just because... let's go back to penis and vagina. Just because there's a penis and a vagina involved doesn't mean that the woman is going to be satisfied. There's a whole lot more to it than that. And guys need to realize that. You want to satisfy a woman, you better understand how it works.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. Absolutely. And here's what I want to talk to you all about. There's something about this, Betsy, that you're saying here that I've started to connect some dots in my mind here. And I'm hearing the emotional impact. I mean, I get this part of the conversation, the emotional impact in a relationship, okay? But, and then we think, Betsy, about the abuse out there. I want to take it here a moment. The rapes, the abuse. Now, most all of this is propagated by men. I mean, men are, Sergeant Betsy, you won't argue that back with me, right? I mean, it's 90% men, right?
Well, right. That's, yeah. Correct? Because it's not about pleasure. It's about power. It's about domination. It's about,
hold on. But let me keep going with that. Now, Sergeant Betsy, but I know you would agree it's 90% plus. It's men. It's probably 99%. I have no idea what the stats are, but I just wanted Sergeant Betsy, who deals with this on a professional basis, to confirm what I'm saying here. If that's the case, okay, part of the reason I'm seeing, when you say power and all that, okay, I get that. And I hear that a lot when it comes to abuse, rape, just really horrible situations. Put that on the side a moment here. But the lack of this emotional contact, being void of emotions, being void of, when we say, I just want to stop a moment and think, ladies, if we say that's a man thing, the being void of emotions, I want to touch on that a moment, because what does that really mean? Because when we address, when we get into abuse and rape and things that are done, that, I mean, it's all over the culture right now with the Harvey Weinstein that started that, and it's, I mean, every other name that's dropped down from there to Bill Cosby and back and forth again to politics and God knows what else around the world. But I don't want to get there. I just want to refer, there's a lot of that out there. But when it comes to this, the power thing and the power of sex, the fact that men are void of the emotions, I got to believe this is a big part of this conversation, because if they can be void of emotions, then it's easy to go in there and, you know, basically sexually abuse somebody, whatever that might mean. You know, I don't know, but versus not being able to do that. Betsy, what am I talking about? Do you see the void I'm trying to say to the emotion that's missing? Why? Because I often question, why do men do the things they do? Why is this so prevalent in society today? And where do they? How are they able to perform those kinds of things against another human being?
It's not a lack of emotion. It's a different emotion. I mean, you know, let's look at the war. Let's look at, you know, what does ISIS do? They get these little girls and they rape them every day, right. And they use sex. Right. As power, and their emotion is anger. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when we're talking about, you know, sexual assault, it's the same thing. It's mm-hmm. it's power, it's anger, as control. Opposed to control. Women who, you know, when we have sex, generally speaking, we have to have some positive emotions. We don't use sex for negative. Sometimes we use sex to manipulate. That's a whole different conversation. But we,
for
we,
sure.
We and it's not hard. Yeah. You know,
I have what you want, and you'll do what I want, or else.
Yeah, boom. I mean, that's been going on since men and women were. That's been going on since Adam and Eve, frankly. Yeah. Yeah. You know, men attach different emotions sometimes to sex than of course women do.
Mm-hmm. Well, something that I noticed, and I think this is partly how we're socialized. I think because we know right from the beginning, little baby boys and baby girls are talked to very differently, you know, and a mother and father are more expressive emotionally toward a baby girl, et cetera, and it goes on from there. Mm. Something that men talk about a lot is wanting respect. And my sort of underlying theory is that because that's what they're told they can get. And so everything boils down to respect, and they need to have a respect, and that's how to be a man. And that's because that's all they've ever been taught about as well. So to be a man is to have respect, but it's sort of like a shallow way to view yourself. There's a lot of other emotions and ways to connect. And I understand women are really big into the connectivity thing. But I think that's an issue there as well. And so when you're just looking for respect and that comes from dominating somebody, it seems like something that's a lot easier to do to someone else.
Wow. It seems like you've got a lot of problems if that's the case, Shona.
Yeah, and remember, back to that, it was one of the first shows you had me on, Malcolm. We were talking about those sex robots.
Oh, yeah.
They were all female.
They were all female?
Right?
Yeah.
There was no women looking for...
Well, Shona, don't they say it's a man's world, Shona?
Yeah, I was actually watching an interesting French movie on Netflix last night where a man got tossed into a world where everything was backward and it was female dominated. It was quite interesting.
Really? Send me the title of that, please. What's it called? Sure. Do you know what it's called?
I think it's called I'm Not an Easy Man.
I'm not.
It's translated from French, so I'm not an easy man, I think is what it's called on Netflix.
On Netflix,
it's
kind
of humorous.
Yeah, that does sound interesting. I'm also really interested, ladies, in why so many relationships fail, and whose fault is it? Why is that? It's just so commonplace today that relationships don't make it, and everybody knows if it doesn't work, they're able to dismiss it immediately. There's no accountability at all in a relationship.
Relationships have been failing since the beginning of time. I mean, that's the whole point of dating, isn't it? So you go through a number of relationships that don't work mm-hmm. until you find the one that does. So I'm not concerned about mm-hmm. relationships not working, because that's just the way of life. What I'm more concerned about is the whole marriage thing. You know, I'm not a massive traditionalist, but yes, I am married. You know, whether my kind should be allowed to is a completely different debate. But, you know, Asher and I, my wife and I, celebrated 20 years together yesterday. So it's...
Oh, congratulations.
I know, thank you. But the point for me is, it's not the relationships don't work. It's that when we make a commitment of right. that level to another person, whether right. it's whether you're just deciding to cohabit or whether you're going for civil partnerships or marriage or whatever it is, mm-hmm. we're not seeing that as being for life anymore. You know, I've been married before. Of course I have. Mm-hmm. But when I asked Ash to marry me and we decided to make that commitment, I wanted to make that commitment and was so frustrated that we couldn't legally for such a long time, because I wanted to say, this is it for me. I don't, right. you are the person I'm choosing to commit to until the day one of us is no longer here anymore. That's my concern, that it's all so throwaway now.
Yeah, but that's what I said, Taz, that what you're saying is perfect, because that's what I've been saying. This is a reflection. This is a societal problem right now.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm talking about when I say relationships. I'm referring to a relationship that's committed, Taz, and you're exactly right.
We don't have time into fixing them, do we? It's the same, you know, we have a throwaway society, and unfortunately, along with things being made out of cheap plastic now, and you just buy a new one, we've put the same kind of emphasis onto our relationships. If something isn't working, you have a big argument, and you just slam out of the door, and you serve the divorce papers, rather than looking at, okay, why is this happening? What's the teaching for us both? How do we fix it? How do we come together through this and make something stronger? And of course it won't work all of the time. But for goodness sake, put some effort into making it work and taking the lessons before you just go out there and find a replacement. That makes me really sad.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times it does come down to lacking healthy communication and emotional skills. It's not something Western culture values. We value individuality. So it's not a surprise when people really can't sustain a relationship for very long, because we're taught and encouraged, you know, even at my daughter's school, it's like, be a leader, be a leader, be a leader. Fantastic. Who's going to follow those leaders? You can't lead anybody if they're not going to follow. Sometimes we have to lead. Sometimes we have to follow. It comes down to the same thing in a committed relationship. It's back and forth. And if you don't know how to have a conversation about that, if you don't know how to healthily deal with anger, except for slamming out the door, like Taz said, you know, those are skills, literally skills, just like skills we get to hold our job and do what we do in life. And most people are not very strong in that skill set at all. We have really lost that, I think.
You know, we'd be so much better if they would teach it somehow. Yeah. And, you know, rather than a lot of the garbage they're teaching in school, teach some of these life skills, because, Malcolm, it is about communication. It is about the give and take, and that everything is not about me. It's about the other person. And my mantra has always been that the more that I give, the more that I get. And if you want to talk about the sexual relationship as well, I have told my daughter, and I've told actually my kids' girlfriends and so forth, don't play games with men with sex. Mm-hmm. If you love somebody, give it freely, and women will get back 1,000 times what they give if they don't play games with it. And men need to also realize that, you know, it's not all about them either, and do the things for their woman that they need to do. But just in a relationship, I mean, everybody here is so right about what they're saying as far as relationships, that it is about skills that we are not using. And, you know, everything in a relationship can't be a fight. It can't be my way or the highway. It has to be a compromise, and we have to be willing to do that. So my little way of compromising is, look at which partner that issue, whatever that issue is really, really important to. Who is it most important to? And that person wins. I mean, that's just kind of the way that I do it. Because every issue, can't be a fight. It's got to be, somebody's got to give. So you know, take your wins and take your losses, but have a happy marriage.
You know, there's something Shauna said that was really interesting as well that I think is worth another mention, this idea of individuality. I think sometimes it's the opposite of that that creates issues as well, this romantic ideal that we just merge together and become one person. Mm-hmm. You've got to hold on to your individuality in a relationship. So the way I describe it is, it's like, you know, two people are sharing an umbrella, but you're still two people underneath that umbrella. When we try to merge into each other and that kind of dependency happens, that creates issues too. So it's that mm-hmm. happy balance, isn't it, between respecting the other person's space and viewpoints and enjoying each other's company without either being so hardline my way or the highway, or so I'm just going to blend and merge and become you and mm-hmm. do anything you want. You got to find that yeah. middle ground, and that's tough.
That's a big word, respect there.
Yeah. And, you know, we have this other little article here, and what she basically comes up to in the end was she didn't know who she was, and so she married somebody else to make her who she was.
Yeah.
It really shows a lack of understanding about where you begin, where you end, what really sparks you, and boundaries. And I think, you know, a lot of, Malcolm, you were mentioning earlier, men are saying, oh, my wife, my girlfriend, she won't have sex with me anymore. I think a lot of times, because we don't have skills in the areas of boundaries, women aren't taught to say, this is what I want, and not just around sex, in life in general. This is what I want. This is an important to me. No, please stop there. This is my boundary. How do we communicate those to other people? We build up a defensiveness because we don't have the skills, or we don't feel we're given permission to speak our boundaries out loud. So you sort of develop an energetic protection, which seems defensive or snappish. It's something that I've noticed in my work with my clients, for sure. When we don't know how to communicate things out loud, we energetically communicate those things. We communicate them on a different level, but then everybody's confused as to what's going on.
I agree with you, Shauna, on everything that you said. And as far as those relationships where the woman doesn't want to have sex with her husband, you know, women want more in the relationship than just sex. So yeah. Women won't have sex unless the rest of the relationship is working. And I think that men really miss that point. They need to have the relationship working, and then the sex will work for them. Where with men, it doesn't need to be that way. They can just have the sex whether the relationship is working or not. And it's a mm-hmm. huge communication issue there. If women could express what it is, you know, they might be mad because their husband comes home every day late, and they're feeling ignored, and then they don't want to have sex. But the man doesn't understand that. So it's all about communicating that so that they can both get what they need out of that.
Well, in fact, what Linda's talking about is you know, a man, if he comes home late every day and his wife doesn't want to have sex, and then he's feeling bad about the relationship because he's not getting any sex. They're not having sex. And because, again, we view it as very differently. For the man, the way to reconnect is to have sex. And for the woman, the way to reconnect is you come home on time, we have a nice dinner, we talk, we have a glass of wine, then we have sex. You know, it's kind of amazing that we ever got together in the first place.
Well, that's true. But Betsy, to your point there, but why not the perfect evening be that, you know, she comes home, he comes home, they have sex first, then they have the wine, the dinner, then they have sex again. Okay,
that's a perfect.
That's a perfect evening.
Dave Smith, if you're listening, that's my perfect evening.
All right, we'll be back just a moment, and we'll explore that perfect evening just a bit longer. The Out Loud Perspective awaits you in life, love, politics, a healthy lifestyle, your faith, personal development, and living an out loud life on AmericaOutLoud.com. Blitzer News and Entertainment Network, where you can listen 24/7 on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. There seems to be a difference out there with back to, and I hear this often, do men or women, you know, their reaction and do they really need sex? Like women, there are some women who say, no, I can live without it. I don't need it at all. What I'm wondering is, why is it so, you know, some women, a lot of women can seem to live without it. It doesn't really change them. But men, it's a different story. Men, like, they have to have it. And I think there's this whole thing about, again, apples and oranges with men and women, the way they look at sex, back to the emotional impact and all of that. But why is it some women don't really need it at all? Dessert would be just fine for them without sex. And that seems to, that's, I don't think that's a stretch. Linda, can you speak to that?
There's physiological reasons to that, though. I mean, there's chemical differences between men and women. And with testosterone, that's, that's what's calling you to have sex. I mean, that's how nature made us.
Right.
And it's not, yeah, I don't think it's that women don't want sex. I certainly think that they could do without sex, but certainly men can too if they put their mind to it. But that
but the Catholic priest can't. Malcolm, why would you be so truthful? Stop it.
But women, I mean, I think I enjoy sex as much as my husband does, so I don't have that issue that you're talking about, but that I just think it comes down to biology here.
Ron said you actually enjoy it more than he does, Linda. He says you actually get you enjoy it more than he does. You want to deny that?
That could be true. No, that is. I'm not even going there. I'll get.
I know. I figured I'd throw you.
Oh man!
Back to throwing that curveball, Betsy. Right?
Oh boy. We thoroughly enjoy each other.
Yeah. Ellen, and you can see that in so many different ways. It's so unique. It's part of the experience of the relationship, clearly. But I think there are two different clocks here we're talking about, back to that emotional clock and back to the testosterone clock. And it is interesting. I'm reminded with this little cartoon, and I'm sure you've all seen it. It's probably been viral for 100 years. But a little girl and a little boy. And the little girl has, and it's a cartoon now, so keep in mind it's just a drawing. But the little girl has her skirt up, and she says, to the little boy, "Oh, I can get a lot of those with this." You know what I'm talking about, lady? Have you seen that cartoon?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, we've all seen that in elementary, right? I can get a lot. But do you see, there's a mindset, is what I'm pointing out to you all. There's a mindset. And Shauna, you kind of mentioned it with a lot of this does come back to our adolescence and our when we're little young ones and our parents. This whole cultural societal thing is really strange to me. How, you know, again, we often, I know a lot of people out there say, you know, little Susie, you got to keep your dress, zip it up. And don't you dare, you know, that's not a good thing. And yet they encourage little Johnny, you got laid last night. Good for you, man. Everything's good. I mean, there is this mentality out there that men can go, boys can go out. And some, I know there are people who think it's okay that they screw, you know, 4, 5, 6, 8, 10 people. No problem. But the other, not so much. I mean, am I wrong?
No, I think.
No, you're correct. Absolutely.
Yeah. Right? It's maybe changing, but it still exists. Yeah, for sure.
And if there's 8 or 10 people that they're fooling around with, those have to be 8 or 10 women. So obviously the women are doing it too.
Exactly. But let's even look at the situations where, you know, we've had in the news lately, we've had these 25, 26-year-old female teachers having sex with the 13-year-old
boy. What's up with that?
When that's reversed, when it's a 26-year-old man having sex with a 13-year-old girl, it's like people are ready to, you know, electrocute him and lynch him and all this kind of stuff. But when it's switched, yeah, it's bad. But it's kind of like that 13-year-old boy, it's like he's kind of a hero in some circles. Yeah. You're like, dude, man, you got laid.
That's a great point, Betsy. That's a great point. And that's happening a lot.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
It's bizarre. I'm serious. It's a show. It's something I'm befuddled about here, and I'm passionate about. What are we thinking as women to be doing that?
Right.
Exactly. Where is there? I think that, you know, that again, that's a whole nother deal. That speaks to the immaturity of some of our millennials out there, quite frankly. These millennial teachers are having sex with 13-year-old boys? Are you kidding me?
There's been a series of those that have been arrested and have gone through the media blitz and have been ridiculed and what have you. And You know, I think back to some of my teachers, ladies, and I thought, would I have sex with them or not? And, you know, they were all old biddies. I can't say that I would have, quite frankly. They were all old. They'd all come and smack me in the head, you know, or something. But, yeah, not so much.
My husband talks about one that...
Yeah, where are the attractive teachers? I haven't had any in my life, Shauna. I don't know. I mean...
We still have a long way to go in society.
So I want to tell you all, ladies, I want to give you a little confession here, if I can do that, okay? Now, we're not in the church, I'm still going to give you a confession, okay? So I am, and I don't know how strange or not this all is, it appears to be, but see, I've never had a one-night stand in my life. Mm-hmm. Never. It has never happened. And I have an emotional impact on the people I touch in my life. And so I'm not the casual. I don't fall into the camp of the guys that we're talking. I just, that's not me. I can't do it. I'm not interested. And so I don't look at sex as just the tool of the moment. And back to, you know, see, I see it differently than what we're talking about here. And, you know, and the fact that you all said early on, well, guys can just get on and get off. And I said, see, that's not my world. I can't even talk to that point. It's not my world, never has been. And so I can't subscribe to that point because I know a lot of guys do that. And how that works for them, I can't answer that. But to me, that is so wrong on so many levels. I mean, there is no relationship if that's your moment, that you just want to get off. And you certainly don't need a woman for that if that's your only experience in all of it. And so back to being devoid of emotions or being devoid of, you know, being involved in this relationship. So, you know, and I'm really fascinated with this emotional impact of why men do some of the things they do, why they rape, why they abuse. I can't comprehend it almost. And Betsy, you and I have had some interesting conversations about this. But I'll tell you, I can't really compute it because I think it's so disgusting on so many levels. I mean, men, women, or anything. I mean, you know, why bother? Why bother at that point if that's your only, if that's all there is for you? And if that really is what's out there, and if that's driving a lot of the men, I think we're in trouble in society here. I think we've taken a bad curve here, you know?
Well, I think, you know, first what you should do is take great pride in that. And then I think what you need to do, and I'm sure you do this at home, is the talk to the young men in your life about this is how men, real men, do relationships. This is how real men do sex, that it's not just some recreational thing to get off. And I think, and there's a lot of men like that, like you, Malcolm, out there.
I think there are, Betsy. I think there are.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And that's my point,
love.
And
I think they're meant to be admired.
So, and that's my point, and I want to bring that out because there is a good percentage of the population who care, who have values. I know there are. I know because I talk to them on the platform, and many people, and I understand behind that. But, you know, I got to tell you, Betsy, that, and I told this story once, but, you know, we all, listen, I mean, great sex, as you say, there's nothing better than great sex. I mean, great sex is great sex. I mean, and cheap sex is like cheap wine. It's not worth it. You get a headache from it. It doesn't really accomplish what you want it to accomplish. But, you know, I got to tell you, Betsy, you know, when I was in my business and I had a lot of really strong women working for the firm and the agency and what have you, and they were treated equally as anybody. We didn't do the gender thing because we treated men and women equally as we do everybody. That's the way my life is. That's my world anyways. That's where I've always been. But, you know, I was at a particular corporate event. I got to tell you the story. And we drove up to my home many years ago. And she looks at me, this young lady from another part of the, wasn't in our state, but she was happened to be in the area for this corporate meeting I was putting on. I was the boss now. I was the guy in charge. And she worked for me, but through other people and stuff. And I happened to be driving her to the meeting. We left one place and we were going to another place. I think it was getting to dinner or another part of the event or something. And I had to drop by my house and pick something up. Do you know, I drove up to my house with her in the car. And I won't say her name, but her name was Kathy. And I remember driving her up to the house. And we're in the front of my house. And she says to me, would you like to go into the house? And I'll have to bleep that word out. But that's what she said, you know. And I was stunned, totally stunned, that she would ask that. Now, she knew I, at that moment of time, I had you know, woman in my life. We were home, we had children, other things going on. And she knew all that. But that didn't stop mm-hmm. her. You talk about a lack of values or lack of anything. And I thought for a moment, and she's a lovely gal and very skilled and interesting and thought and, you know, lovely. And I turned around a moment to her and I thought, and everything flooded my mind at that moment. Like, you know, there's the man part of you that says, oh, it'd be great to get off with you, lady. Sure, absolutely. Why not? You know, the other part of you says, right. Oh, my God, the baggage that would come with that. Just think of the problem. She works for you, Malcolm. Get a life. Knock it off. And the other part of me says, right. That's so wrong. It isn't funny. Why would you even consider that? So I got all these little guys on my shoulder telling me to, you know, whatever, right? So I turned to her in the moment, notice, and without trying to, you know, not really knowing, being put in that spot, and I said to her, I said, Kathy, I said, listen, thank you. I said, that is a great compliment. I appreciate that, but no, I don't want to go in the house and today. But thank you just the same. It's a great offer. I appreciate it, but no. That's really how I handled it. And she was floored. Her mouth dropped on the floor, you know. And she went, and I handled it in a very professional state. And I said, "But thank you very much." And I went on my way. I don't think the relationship was obviously always heavy after that. You know, it was always a bit heavy. But she stayed on for a while longer, and then sometime later, I think the next year or so, she stayed with the firm and all. But I remember she was at one point again. This manager was in with this woman that I was with, and she actually told her that she messed up and tried to hit on me. Can you believe that?
Wow, God yeah. bless her for coming
I know.
Coming clean.
Absolutely. And
you know, women, you know, we're used to that. We're used to getting hit on like that. But I think right. for you, for a guy, just to have that kind of recreational right. Offer, if you will,
right.
is a little more unusual. I mean, you just got a real taste of what it's like to be
yeah.
to be mm-hmm. a woman. Yeah. You know, for those of us who, you know, I travel for a living and geez, just a couple of weeks ago, I had some guy say to me, you know, I saw him in the gym and at the hotel and we chatted. It was a nice conversation. Then as we're going up to our separate rooms to go to our separate dinners, he goes, oh, would you like company later? And I said, oh, you know, no,
oh, nice.
No, thanks. And I walked into my room and then I stood there and I literally called my best friend and said, I think I just got hit on, you know, and she, you know, I told her and she travels for a living too. And we just both laughed because it's like, wow, you know, at my age, I'm not so used to getting hit on anymore. But it was just interesting. But see, that's what women experience, Malcolm, pretty regularly. I'm sure the other mm-hmm. women can speak to that. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. As a tall expat living in Latin America, my morning jog is a continual, you know, I had a older gentleman with no teeth smile at me and compliment me the other day. So it's not just gummy old men, but it's continual. It's everywhere I go. And that's been happening to my daughter because she's also tall, right? Since she was 9 years old when we're here. And it's just day in, day out.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Particularly
yeah.
when I was still in corporate, not so much now because Ash and I are pretty much together most of the time. Our work takes us to similar places, but particularly when I was in corporate, if I had just 50p or a dollar in your language for every guy who assumes that I just hadn't met the right guy yet and try the conversion tactic, I would be rich by now, honestly.
Because then it's just a challenge, Taz.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. There was one guy who used to run a pub near us who actually grabbed me in front of her and thrust his tongue into my mouth, honestly.
Wow.
There's no boundaries.
Wow.
Ew.
Yeah.
Mm. Those things happen looking. Often.
He was short just, and bold and just, ew.
Well, I think it's, you know, listen, I think everybody's values are different. And I looked at Betsy, back to your point a moment ago, well, now you know how it feels. But you see, to me, that was a compliment that I had no problem with it at all, that she wanted to do that. I find it very unique and forward that it's not just men that are forward. Women are forward as well, was my point, Betsy, you know?
Oh, they so are.
Well, sure. And,
yeah,
and
I'm not
I mean,
insulted
I,
by it.
You know, when, in fact, the older I get, you know, when somebody flirts with me or hits on me or yeah. or whatever, and Dave gets a big charge out of watching it happen when he's around. And you know what, I'm kind of, you know, I know we're in the hashtag Me Too era and all that kind of stuff, but, you know, I don't automatically get all, you know, like,
exactly.
oh my God, how dare you? You know, I'm kind of like, thanks there, kiddo. That's pretty, you kind of made my day. The answer is no.
What's wrong with that?
Thanks.
Yeah.
If there are no boundaries being crossed and it's just flirtation, then you got to take the compliment
right.
from it.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
And
that's
for
right.
women. Yeah, you know,
and I've got to brag for a sec, Taz. I get hit on by as many women as I do right. men because,
absolutely.
You know, in the law enforcement and military training profession, there's lots of lesbians. And I'm like, I'll never forget one day, Dave and I were at a conference, we were teaching, and we're both sitting together on the couch in the hospitality room at a hotel. And on my right, I'm getting hit on by a beautiful female deputy. On his left, he's getting hit on by a beautiful female deputy. And we walked out of there thinking, man, we are one hot couple.
Did you high five on the way out? Absolutely. Yeah, you do. And that's another interesting thing as well. I kind of get the flip thing happening to me. I get a lot of women who are ostensibly straight have hit on me over the years because they seem to do this safe, in inverted commas, you know, playground going on. It happens.
Well,
lot.
Here's the thing, Taz. Here's the thing. Listen, let's be clear. Let me give you a little dose of out loud truth here, ladies and everybody today. And here's what it is right now. There are more women having sex with more women and men having more sex than more men than anybody would even admit. Okay? All right?
Yeah.
Let's be clear. Mm-hmm. Okay? So anybody who thinks that's not...
Right.
What's that?
I know. A lot of people... You draw a line between gay and straight, and a lot of people are more or close to the center than they're comfortable
with. I'm telling you now, there are far more, and it's not just the women on women. The men on men is very common as well. And so I think there's a free spirit out there if anything goes, is all I'm saying. It's all I'm saying.
You know what? At the end of the day, it's people on people, isn't it?
Well, it's sex is what there is, and it's people that are in the mode for whatever it is. I mean, it just is. And it doesn't mean that they're changing their life to be gay, but it does happen a lot out there.
Yeah.
I can see it. I mean, I know, it's just out there. It's everywhere. I can say that,
Let's go back to that, you know, back to our original premise, you know, why, you know, that men have sex for different reasons than women. Right. I know I have so many women friends who, entered into a gay lifestyle way later in life, post 40, post marriage to a guy, post children, all that stuff. And I think, again, a lot of it, lesbian sex is attractive to a lot of women because I think it seems so much more nurturing. There's so much more in it. And again, I've never experienced it, but I think, gee, you know, it must be good to have sex with a woman because she absolutely gets how to make things happen. Whereas guys need some instruction.
Well, listen, I want to tell you as well, the season finale for Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure Season 2 will be on Wednesday, May 30th. Wednesday, May 30th is the finale of this production and this season. So we certainly invite you there. And those last many shows will be very fascinating, I assure you, as all the shows are. So tell your friends, share this information with others, let them know. Thank you all for being part of this incredible conversation and journey. And as always, friends, we invite you back to America Out Loud, where it is all happening. There is a lot going on. Please tell your friends, your family, and others to join us. There are a lot of exciting things coming down, some interesting new shows coming about, a lot of new things to discuss with you just ahead here. And what a great conversation here today. Thank you again here. Linda Martinelli, Shauna Peters, Taz Thornton, Sergeant Betsy Smith. This is Malcolm Out Loud, to be continued, friends.